Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
Welcome to another episode of Strategy Sunday, right? So what we're going to talk about tonight is that, you know, the number one issue is that people are panicking over crypto, right? People don't know what to think. They don't know what's going on. They're panicked. But this panic is natural. But panic is also something that we got to learn to control, right? Because a lot of people are completely panicking. They don't know what to think. They don't know where to go, right? But, you know, but on the other hand, you know, it may be a good opportunity. So the first thing we're going to talk about is why crypto is down. And then we're going to give a case. Because a lot of people say, Armando, I got so many messages over the last few days asking me, Armando, should I buy or sell? Right. And like you guys follow me, you know, I don't like to tell people when to buy or sell. I don't like that because sometimes, you know, I'm not a financial advisor. I shouldn't be telling you that anyway. I could tell you my opinions. I could tell you where I see the market. I could tell you all of that stuff, but I can't tell you if you should buy or sell an asset. Right. You got to do your own due diligence, do your own research and figure that out on your own. Right. And that's what this is about, is figuring this stuff out on your own. Right. And I hope you guys, you do that, you learn more, you can grow more, you can, you know, you can become a better investor by teaching yourself this stuff, right? And like, I put a title here that said Bitcoin is done. That was being sarcastic. Now, obviously, I've been in this 10 years. I don't believe that Bitcoin's done. Now, there's certain paths we can go from here. Remember, a good investor never knows what's going to happen, right? A good investor never, he understands that he or she cannot predict the future. Thing you could do is say, look, man, what's the paths from here? What's the probability? What probabilities I think we can go here, here, or here? And then you can make your choices. You can make your predictions based on those probabilities, right? So we're, like we said, we're going to talk about why crypto is down. Then we're going to talk about crypto's bottom. We're going to give you a case to buy and a case to sell. So you guys can use that information. I tell you, I'm on the case to hold it, right? I'm not selling. But that's really what I, like, if somebody asks, what do you believe? I believe that I'm holding, right? I'm holding. So that means I believe that you should hold, but I can't tell you what to buy and sell, but that's what I'm doing, right? Because I believe we're not quite at the bottom yet. I don't think we're quite where we, you know, at this point where, you know, could be the bottom, right? But the other thing we want to talk about, a lot of people are asking me this question, this number one question. Why is Bitcoin falling so fast? And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to tell you why that's happening. Like, why don't stocks fall this fast? Stocks don't fall this fast, right? Now, this is a crazy stock. I mean, it doesn't fall this much in one day, for 4 or 5 days in a row. It doesn't happen. But on the other hand, I'm going to tell you why that happens with crypto and doesn't happen in stocks. Then we're going to talk about two hot stocks that I've been researching, that I've put the effort into, and I've actually looked at, right? And I've taken all, you know, I spent a lot of Saturday researching these stocks and finding two great stocks that have a 50% return possibility in the next 6 months. And there's stocks that a lot of people don't talk about. There's stocks that don't have the buzz and all that stuff about it. Like, you know, those stocks that we found in the past, you know, and I've talked to you about on Strategy Sunday. I'm like, hey, look, this stock is going to do well, right? And a lot of people, you know, I'm not looking at that or whatever, but these stocks that nobody knows about, like when Bitcoin was at 3,000, people wasn't even looking at it, right? And I told you guys it would be a perfect time to buy. Now we're, even though we're down 50%, we're still up 10 times our money, right? So the best investments are to get in it before an accumulation phase, before anybody knows, right? Because Ryan and Mara are already in markdown phase. But that's the best time to get into these assets, get into investments, is when nobody's talking about it. Because once everybody and your mama's talking about it, then it's too late. You're probably in distribution and you can make some short term gains, but the odds are you're going to lose your money, right? Because we're getting into the market at the wrong time. We're going to talk about that, right? All right, so let's move forward. Now, I've already told you guys I'm on the case to buy it. I believe that, you know, I believe maybe you should buy more or hold. Buy the case is to buy or hold, right? Right? So you got to remember, I've been in this for 10 years. You got to remember, I've been through three cycles. You got to remember, I've been through this time and time before. And that's why people always say, like one time I said, you know, don't follow people who only been in this 3 months, right? And then one person responded with that. And they said, what, you can learn everything about Bitcoin in 3 months? Yeah, you can. But you haven't been through the cycles. You don't know what's, you know what I'm saying? You've only been through this cycle. Your mind is biased. You see what I'm saying? So somebody that's been in this time, like a doctor that's seen every possible situation, he's going to be a better doctor. Even if a doctor was smarter initially or learned everything initially, the doctor with more experience have seen these things time and time again. So he understands situations better than that doctor that just started. And that's just how the world works, right? So first, we got to understand what market cycles are. Now, I've said this a bunch of times. I've talked to you guys extensively about how market cycles work, right? So market cycle has four phases. It's accumulation, when institutions get into an asset. The second is markup. It's when institutions start selling their assets to regular people. The third phase is distribution, and the asset, you know, assets to go up a lot. Distribution phase is when everybody and their mama's talking about it. Then you got markdown at the end. That's when all the smart people, they call them smart money, the big investors get out, and then it causes the market to tank because those unsavvy investors have what they call now paper hands. They're shaky. They're scared. They don't know what to do. They only got into the asset believing that it was going to keep going up. So once that stops happening, they panic. Oh my God, what do I do? I thought Bitcoin only went up. Then they start panicking, selling, and the whole market goes crazy. A lot like what's happening right now because they're panicking, right? So the good thing about this particular crash is that the data, the researchers have found out that that's the case. That the people who just got into the market 3 months ago are the people that sell it, right? And that's a very good sign because the smart people, the savvy investors, the people that have been in this for all the institutions, banks, and the elite are not selling right now. It's the paper hands, the people that came in distribution that are selling, right? Panicking. Oh my God, what do I do? I mean, I'm already down. I mean, what do I? Because they bought so late in the cycle. And the second reason, they don't know what they're doing. They panic. Like we always say, if you FOMO into something, FOMO means fear of missing out. So you panic and get into something because you think you're going to miss some money. When it drops, what you're going to do? You're going to panic out of it because you're driven by emotions. Everything you do in your financial life is on pure emotion. You walk into a car dealership. You buy the car that you want. You can't stop yourself. You the marketing comes on TV. You get a feeling in your heart and you go buy the thing. And it extends to stocks and investments. Is that my friend just made, you know, $50,000 on Dogecoin. Oh my God, I'm missing out. And you put all your money into it. And then once it's going down, What do I do? Then you sell it. You see what I'm saying? You're driven by emotion. Unsavvy investors, because they don't have the knowledge, because they don't have the education, they fill those holes with emotion, right? And that's what happens. So we said the market data says that most people that are selling right now are people that got into it in the late cycle, in the last 3 months, right? And that's why it's important for people to get into stuff in the right cycle. But you can, like I said, you can buy through any cycle, but you got to understand where your risk is. In accumulation phase, your risk is low. In markup phase, your risk is even higher. In distribution phase, this is the highest possible risk you can have. Then markdown phase, you start losing money. You see what I'm saying? Because once the average dude gets into Bitcoin, the average run-of-the-mill, unsavvy investor got in at 35. You see what I'm saying? Nobody was talking about Bitcoin up to about 35. Then all of a sudden, Jim Jones, the giving classes on it, all these rappers talking about it, people that don't know what they're talking about, because they got into it late. They got into it in the wrong phase, right? So back to what I was saying, right? So somebody just put up a quote. They said, I thought the rich sold first. Yeah, they do. When they don't believe the market's in market, going into markdown, they believe that. But something's saying to them that we're not at the end of distribution yet. Something is coming out to them in the market that says we're not at the end of distribution. I'm going to hold it until the end. So that's what I'm talking about, is that the rich will sell to the distribution people eventually, you know, throughout markup, throughout distribution. But for some reason, the elite, the rich, the banks, they don't see it. Like for example, Tesla hasn't sold yet, you know? So for some reason, they're not selling. Maybe because they see it on the horizon 4 years from now to get their money back, you know? And the thing about Jim Jones has his own coin. Well, you can make a coin in five. I can make a coin for each one of y'all in 30 minutes. Coins are easy to create. There's nothing to it. You just go to Fiverr.com and you put in, you give somebody $20 and they make a coin for you in 2 hours. Making a coin doesn't mean anything. I have to make sure you guys understand that. Having a coin and making a coin means nothing. That coin will go to zero. I promise you. It's a 99% chance his coin will go to zero. What is it for? What is his use case? That Jimmy coin or whatever, Jim Jones coin will go to zero. I promise you it will. Right? And I'm stepping out on a limb here. And I'll say, I promise you it's going to zero. So let's move on. Right? So we know why Bitcoin's dropping. We've seen, now there's been some news over the last week that caused this crash. Right? Tesla sold a quarter. They didn't sell all their Bitcoin. They sold 25%. They still got 75% of Bitcoin, right? And that's just a strategic move to make sure, you know, they're managing risk. That's what they're doing, right? And we always talk about that, is Tesla is managing risk. So they sold 25%. They still got most of their Bitcoin, right? And that's what I try to teach you guys, is that elite, the rich, will manage risk. They may not sell their whole holding, but they're going to get something out of this. So you see what I'm saying? That 25% they sold is almost 70% of their total profit that they put, the total capital they put in. So that's still up. They're almost, you know, they're not going to really take a loss on it, because like I said, rich people, the elite, they don't take losses. Like poor people and savvy investors will take it, right? So like I said, we've been through the news that's caused Bitcoin to drop. We've been through this before. So the case to buy or hold, you know, let's talk about the things that happen, right? Regulation fears. Some people think because China banned it, you know, last week, or what was it, last week? It seems like longer ago, right? But it was last week. Since China banned Bitcoin, that the U.S. is going to do the same. People are assuming or trying to figure out what's going to happen. And then the market, whenever anybody, like we talked about before, when there's uncertainty in the market, when nobody knows what's going on and there's fears, there's only one way it goes down, right? There's fears, right? And just to understand what the fear is, there's something in Bitcoin called the Fear and Greed Index. A company, an artificial intelligence company out of, I think, somewhere in Europe, has this index, and it's a metric, right? They put out and it's 0 to 100, right? So 100 means it's full fear in the market. And they use social media, they use market data, they use certain things, they use, you know, a lot of things, a lot of data coming in to create what this Fear and Greed Index, right? So 100% is the highest you can be. That means that everybody's panicking and selling everything they got. A one is the lowest. That means everybody's buying. So you know what the Fear and Greed Index right now is? It's about an 81, 82. It's almost at the max it could possibly be. So what do we know about that? What do we understand about when people are fearful? What do? They oversell, right? And we've made a lot of money in stocks over the last 2 years of watching people oversell, because when the fear index gets that high on anything, when people are panicking, when they're scared, they oversell assets. What an oversell is means that so many people sell, they drive the asset lower than what it should be. And then the real smart people come in and say, hey man, Bitcoin shouldn't be 35. They'll come up with a number and say, well, maybe Bitcoin should be 42, 45. And then the savvy people come in and buy it, pushing the asset back up. Now that could be happening, right? And that could be happening, right? So we don't know. So like we said, investors are worried. So that's always, whenever investors are worried and something you believe in, that's always a buying opportunity, right? It almost always is. But on the other hand, like we said, if you choose to buy or hold, there's two paths this can go. And like I told you guys, I'm on the side of holding and buying, right? I wouldn't buy a lot right now because I bought most of mine in accumulation phase, but I wouldn't buy a lot now, but I'd buy a little bit, like maybe on the, you know, now and then see what happens in the future. But you gotta understand, you're at a high risk right now, right? You're at a high risk. So back to what we're saying is that it could be an oversell, right? So like I said, I'm leaning on the side to hold. You know, I say 70-30, right? But like we said, we don't know where this is going. We don't know how far this is going. Nobody knows on earth exactly what's gonna happen. So a savvy investor, smart investor, works in probabilities. He says, look, what's most likely to happen? Well, there's two paths for a hold case. One is that Bitcoin has always went up after the next halving. For those who don't know what the halving is, every 4 years, Bitcoin cuts the supply in half. And that for the last three, four-year periods, that's triggered a 10 times, 20 times gain in Bitcoin and all other cryptos, because all other cryptos follow Bitcoin. So every crash is triggered a 10, 20 times gain. So we're at 35 now, so the top would be 250, 300,000, right? So that means, but you have to wait 4 years for it, right? So you'd have to wait 4 years. So what, you know, but in the second path is that it could quickly recover in the next 2 months, because I personally believe we got a few more months left of the bull run. But I could be wrong. But if you look at the two paths, either way, you're gonna make money in case something horrible happens that we can't predict. But in most cases, in every other crash after the distribution phase was over, it's been up 10, 20 times after that. Like for example, late 2017, Bitcoin started crashing. It lost 90% over the 2018. It went from 20,000 all the way down to about 3,000 or 4,000, right? So that year had an average of about 8,000, 9,000, 2018 when that crashed. Crash was almost 90% down. So we had to wait 19, 20, 21, 3 years from the bottom of the crash. Now, and then where is Bitcoin at now? It reached 64,000. The bottom was about 3,000 in the pandemic, and it went all the way up 20 times better. So that tells us that it's a high probability that's going to happen again. And we can go back to the pandemic when it fell to 3,000. Within a year, it was at 60,000. You see, 50,000, right? So the first path is that we got to wait 4 years. The second path is that we may have to wait 3 months, right? But either way, you're going to have to wait and be patient, right? But what does that say? So there's something in finance, and you guys got to understand this is called lost opportunity cost or opportunity cost, right? So what is opportunity cost? Let's just, I'm going to use big numbers because they're even and I can understand them more. And I need to use big numbers for this example. I know most of you got 500,000, 2,000, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so it's good, especially younger people, to start with lower amounts so you understand it. But I have to use big numbers in this example because otherwise it wouldn't make sense, right? Because I have to use houses and real estate, so I can't do it. So let's say, for example, I had 100,000 in Bitcoin, right? And it dropped 50%. So now I got 50. So what I'm going to do is I decide I'm going to hold it for four years. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold it until it goes back and maybe surpasses what I bought it at. So what happens? My money is frozen, right, for 4 years. I can't do anything with it. Or I'm going to take a loss. So I have to leave it in there. So what can happen over those 4 years, right? So maybe the real estate market drops. Maybe it's a good opportunity to get in real estate. Maybe a good deal on a house or land or something comes up and I don't have the money to buy it. Maybe, see what I'm saying? Let's say, for example, the market or the bottom fell out of a real estate market. So with that 100,000, I could take mortgages out on three houses, about $200,000 houses. And I could rent those out and start getting the income instantly. And then once the real estate market goes back up, I could double, triple, quadruple my investment. You see, and along the way, I've made rent. So that's the lost opportunity cost of money because my money is locked up in an investment that's dropped, and I believe it's going back up. Well, you lose the money over the long term, right? So that's how it works. But there's another case, right? The case to sell or the case to get rid of everything you got. What's the case there? Like I said, I'm a 70-30%. I'm 70% on buy and hold. I'm 30% on sell and get rid of it, right? Maybe less than that, like 20%, or maybe I'd say 18%. So I'm like 80% on, let's say 80, 20. I'm 80% on just holding it. I'm 20% on selling it, right? So I guess, like I said, but I'm holding it, right? All we can go by is probabilities. So the scary thing about this crash, and like I said, I've been in this before. I've seen these crashes before. I've seen 12 different crashes in Bitcoin in my last 10 years, right? That's over 30-40%, over 30%. I've seen 12 in the last 10 years. Right. So what's happening now? Right. The top was 64,000. The top was 64,000. Right. So we're at what? We hit about 28. So that's a 55% drop. That's a 55% drop on the peak. So you got to understand, people say, well, it's just a correction. Corrections are 30-40%. I mean, that's by definition. You look up what a market correction is, it can't be more than about 35, 40%. It cannot be more because once you pass that, you're in what's called capitulation, right? Capitulation is a phase in a down market or in a bear market where people have just given up. And that's when you see the steep declines below 30, 40%. Is that many of the unsavvy investors got in, they give up. I'm done with this. I can't keep losing money. Let's start selling. That causes those extreme drops in any asset. It could be Bitcoin, anything. Is that most people, you know, have given up, right? That means you surrender. You've given up. You are not even going to try to recapture any lost gains anymore, right? Because you're done, right? So that's where we're at right now. And that's a scary thing. I mean, that Bitcoin is never, the only time Bitcoin has seen these type of corrections was in 18 and 13. And it took 3 years after that to recover, right? So that's a scary thing. But I do believe that this market is different. But on the other hand, you know, we do have that risk out there of being a 3-4 year recovery, right? So that's the case to sell. Maybe you can't hold for 4 years. Maybe you need your money. Maybe you could do something else with it, right? So, like we said, Bitcoin has only had one similar size correction in the last 6-7 years, and it took 4 years to recover. That was an 85% drop. It took 4 years to recover back to where it was, the previous high was, right? So the risk out there is that, you know, a lot of countries could ban it. The U.S. could ban it, you know, increase U.S. regulation and cause the market to drop lower. And this is, I believe this is a form of market manipulation. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this, dude. Mm-hmm. So that's a form of a market manipulation, I believe. You know, I believe that I don't believe that the countries just want to ban it. I believe this is a type of manipulation. That's why I said I'm 80% on buy and hold, 20% on selling, because I just believe that this is market manipulation. Like what happened in 18 was an example of market manipulation. Also, is that all of a sudden all the big banks start stopping credit card payments, you couldn't attach your bank to Coinbase. That was just because they wanted to slow it down because they want to control it. But regardless, market manipulation or not, they're still falling. You see what I'm saying? And they can hold it down for 3-4 years. So if they can do that, it really doesn't matter what's causing it. And if you look at it from an investment perspective, it's market manipulation, the crickets have done it, aliens are doing it, it don't matter because you're still losing money. You see what I'm saying? Now, we can discuss what it is, but on the other hand, it don't matter who's doing it. You know, the cows in Argentina are doing it, it don't matter because we still losing money and we got to control risk and prepare for that. And we got to be able to predict when it's coming back or, you know, understand that we may have to hold it or we may have to look for it. You still have to make those predictions. You still have to do your due diligence and make your own decisions because it really don't matter what's causing it. I like to talk about it and I do believe it's market manipulation, but that's really beside the point, right? So another question I want to answer. Now that's the case to sell. Like I said, I'm more on the case to hold, but I just wanted to make sure I laid that out to you so you guys can make your own decisions, right? So I'll explain smart contracts later on. So just ask that question at the end when I ask you guys for questions. So back to what I was saying is that the question I get so much along with the three questions I got this week are, is Bitcoin over? Is Bitcoin done? What's going to happen? Should I sell? Should I buy more? If I got $2,000, you think I should put it in Bitcoin? Now I don't answer those questions, but because I'm not a financial advisor, I can't answer them directly to you, but I can tell you, you know, as a group, what I think, right? But on the other hand, the third question I get is why crypto falls so fast? Why does it fall? And the stocks, normal stocks don't do this. Why is it so volatile? Why is it moving? Why am I looking at it down 20% 3 days in a row? What? I've never seen a stock like that. I've never seen another asset like that. Why is it dropping so fast? Well, it's pretty easy, right? Is that crypto, Bitcoin in general, Bitcoin and crypto in general is an immature market, right? And the stock market was like that at one point. You go back to Black Friday, and I mean, whatever that was, Black Friday in 1929, the stock market crashed in 1929. That they didn't have, it was an immature market also. That's why the stocks dropped so much. And over the years, the stock market has become more and more mature. So the stock market has something called a circuit breaker, right? And Bitcoin doesn't have this because it ain't mature enough yet. It's two reasons that Bitcoin drops a lot faster than stocks. If we're, first of all, it's a circuit breaker. What does that mean? That means that there's a law out there. There's federal laws that say if a stock drops 7% in one day, they have to stop trading for a while. If it continues to drop to 13%, they have to stop trading and let people cool off. If it falls to 20% that day, they have to stop trading, sometimes for hours, and let people cool off. So the stock doesn't keep going down, causing more and more panic like crypto is allowed to do, right? So that's the reason why it's called a circuit breaker. That's a real, that in the stock market, that actually happens. So that's what causes stocks to be able to be held up and what causes crypto. The crypto is to be honest, a real natural market. What we see in the stocks is a heavily regulated market by the U.S. government. So that's the reason why it's not as volatile. It doesn't move as much as crypto, right? Because crypto is a true measure of the emotions of the market. Now, the stock market is a measure of the emotions, but there's circuit breakers that stops it. You see what I'm saying? It stops things from happening so people won't go crazy. So people won't panic sell, right? They have that in there. The second is two more reasons why Bitcoin falls a lot faster. One, the other one is that there's there's only two stock market, major stock market exchanges, the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. And the same stock won't trade on both of those. But the thing is that Bitcoin is traded on hundreds of exchanges. So I promise you some of them are manipulated. I promise you. BitMEX was one of the biggest Bitcoin exchanges in the world, and all their people got arrested for stuff like this. So they're actually, like I said, there's a lot of manipulation in this market. First of all the exchanges not even in the U.S. and United States. So they're not under different laws, different structures, different regulation. So what happens here is that it causes these wild swings because the exchanges aren't mature. There's not one place you look. When you look at the Bitcoin price on your screen, on CoinMarketCap, whatever, that's an aggregate price based on all the exchanges. It's not really a real agreed upon price of Bitcoin. You can go to two different sites and it has two different prices, right? Because there's no agreed upon price for Bitcoin right now, right? And the third reason is because some exchanges offer what's called leverage. So you get some exchanges give you 125 times leverage. So I could have one Bitcoin and they'll loan me 124 to trade with. You see what I'm saying? So instead of me trading with 50,000, I'm now trading with 5.5 million. You see what I'm saying? So the market sees buys and sells with leverage money as the same thing as if you had the money. So that means if, let's say, the market drops, I sell all my 125 total coins, the market sees that as a $5 million sale, even though you didn't put that much in the market. So these kind of things cause it to dry in liquidations, a forced liquidation. That means that if you borrow that much money and then the stock market drops a certain amount, they liquidate and take your money from you because they have to protect their loans and protect their assets. If they loan you money, they got to get it back. So they'll just sell everything, take your money and just go, you know, go forward with that. So that causes, whenever Bitcoin drops hard, all these people that are over leveraged, it causes these mass liquidations. It causes it to drop down. Now, in the stock market, they don't allow 125 times leverage. It's like 3. So that's another reason why. Right? So two more things I want to talk about. I want to talk about panic selling. Then I want to move on to the two stocks. Right? Like I said, these are two stocks out there that I believe are going to give a 50% return in the next few months. Right? Now, you know, and that's a big return, especially if you do options, you can get 10, 15 times the return. Not probably 10. You get about 10, you know, 5 to 10 times the return on an option. So back to what I was saying is the panic selling, right? We have certain things in panic selling that unsavvy investors don't understand. It ends up costing them more money, right? It ends up actually costing them more because they don't understand how taxation works. They don't understand how short-term and long-term gains are taxed, right? So what somebody will do, what an unsavvy investor who doesn't understand it, understanding the tax laws on investing is just as important as understanding the investment, because you can make major mistakes by not understanding this. You can make horrible mistakes by not understanding how taxation works with capital gains and regular income, right? Let's say I got Bitcoin. I bought it January, right? So that's about 25,000. So I watched it go up to 67. I didn't sell. Now that it went to 35, I'm like, oh man, I got to sell it. Cause I mean, I'm not going to be, if it goes down to 25, I make nothing. So I'm going to sell at 35 this week, right now, 35. What you've done is create a short-term gain. 6 months into the year, you've created almost 6 months. You create a short-term gain. So what's happened there? Is that now the highest rate for a short-term gain is 35%. The average person pays 24, 25%, right? So what if you held that throughout the end of the year? What if you held it for a few years, right? So if you hold an asset, any asset, cryptos included, for more than a year, you got a lot. You have a, most people pay about a 12% capital gains. Capital gains are anything you hold over a year. So let's say Bitcoin goes to 40,000 by the end of the year. Let's say it drops to 30,000 for the end of the year and it holds there, right? And then somebody else says, hey, I'm gonna sell at the end of the year. You know that person made more money than you? Even though you sold at 35, they sold at 30 because they held it for a year, they made more money than you in the end because you paid more taxes out. You see what I'm saying? So by panic selling, people don't even think about the tax implications of that, right? Is that taxes are a very, very important part of your strategy because you could pay two and a half times more taxes just by selling too early. Right, it's a capital gains is like for the highest capital gains is 20%. The highest regular income is 37%. That's almost double. So you can end up paying double as many much in taxes by selling something less than a year. Panic selling, don't know what you're doing is selling. You paying twice as much taxes as somebody else who held the asset. Now I'm gonna tell you another scenario. Let's say you bought Bitcoin at 3,000. Right, you watched it go up to let's say. For 35 where it's at now, let's say 35. So you made a $32,000 profit, right? You panic and you sell it 6 months in, right? So you're paying, let's say you're at the highest tax bracket just to make it, you know, easier, right? So you're paying about 40%. So you're up 27,000. I mean, you're up 3,000. You're up 32,000. You bought at 3,000. You're panic selling at 35. So you made a total profit of 32,000, right? So in that scenario, right? You say, I'm going to sell, I'm going to panic sell. So now you're paying, let's say 38% on that. So you're going to lose about $13,000 in taxes. Gone. $13,000. So you only profited in that situation about $14,000, right? So let's say somebody else holds it. They bought just like you at $3,000. They're going to hold it for the rest of the year, right? So they decide to sell at, let's say, 32 less than you, right? So they made, what did they make out? They made $30,000, but they only paying 20%. So they only pay $6,000. So their total profit is, and let's say their total profit is $18,000. So think about it. You panic sold $5,000 higher, but you end up paying $14,000 out in taxes. The second person held for a year, they only had to pay $6,000 because of how the taxation works. So you panic sold, scared you're going to lose your money and end up having to pay a higher tax rate. Way higher, you know. I'm sorry, it'd be 8,000, 8,014. I'm sorry, not six, it'd be 8,000 roughly. I mean, I'm just calculating this stuff in my head. So you pay 8,000, the other person paid 14,000. You see what I'm saying? So I paid 6,000 more. So it don't matter that this person got less money than me, less gains because he didn't have to pay as much, he or she didn't have to pay as much taxes out. Right? So you gotta understand that and make sure you constantly think about it, like risk management, taxation, along with investment advice. Because otherwise you're gonna make big mistakes, right? So let's move on. So we're gonna bring up these two stocks, then we're gonna open the floor for questions, right? There's two stocks out there. Now I've done the research. Some of you may not agree with it, but my track record is showing I'm like 85, 90% right, right? I may not be right on both of these. That's why it's important not to just take my information and run with it, right? Like I said, before we give these two stocks, if you guys appreciate the stock advice, I've made a lot of people a lot of money, and we all know that, right? We all know that it's not a secret. I've made a lot of people a lot of money by listening to this, the people doing their due diligence and getting into these stocks and assets that I've been telling you about. People got into Bitcoin at 3,000. Now they're way up, right? A lot of people. We made money on Marin Riot. Let's get to these two stocks. They're not buzz stocks, you know, like they're not high tech. One of them's high tech, but it's an old technology, right? It's an old technology company. Well, the first one is Intel, right? And that's INTC. That's the stock ticker. And people say Intel, that company's been around like 30 years. Why would that go up? Well, there's two reasons why I picked that one. Like we talk about in my classes, whenever I give these stocks that I picked, right? I add them to my portfolio as well. Right? Sign up for the mentorship. You click the link in my bio, you sign up for it. There's three different packages. You can take a look at the packages. So people who want to sign up for mentorship, it gives you a monthly roundtable, which we dive into this stuff a little deeper. It gives you access to all the classes, all live classes, all recorded classes. And you also get a monthly call with me. So if you want to join that, the mentorship, the link's in the bio and you can join them, right? So let's get back to Intel, right? So Intel is a semiconductor company, right? So that means they produce mostly your processors, right? So processing your computer and your phone, whatever, they produce a lot of those, right? Another two companies out there, NVIDIA is also a semiconductor company and also AMD. Now, those companies have gotten a lot more buzz because they're associated with Bitcoin production, right? They're associated with crypto production. But Intel is still down. Intel is a dividend producing company. So you will get a dividend every year, right? And that dividend can be reinvested back into the stock. So they're, like we said, Intel is actually revving up. Intel, for the last 12 quarters, they've hit their marks 11 times, beat expectations, 11 times out of 12. That's very, very rare for a company to do. Most companies don't do that. They at least grab a quarter or two where they miss it, right? To be honest, that's consistent. Consistency on dividends. They haven't missed that dividend in 6 years. Sometime a company that pays a dividend will say, hey man, we didn't do good this year. We can't pay our dividend. And you just don't get it. But Intel has hit it for 6 years straight, right? So with this type of consistency, with this type of company, with this type of fundamentals that I've looked over, the technicals I've looked over, it's in an upward trend right now. So all the signs point to Intel being a 30, 40, 50% gain in the next 3 to 6 months. Now, I can't tell you what to buy and sell. I'm not here for that. I'm here to spark your brain. And so you go out and do your own due diligence. You go out and you make sure that that's the right decision from you. And you execute based on your own decisions, your own due diligence. That's what I want for you guys. Because by doing that, you learn. I don't want you just depending on this dude on the internet, Mondo, some dude on crazy dude on the internet, depending on what he says. I could be crazy. I could be high on some drugs. Like, I don't use drugs. I don't drink alcohol, but I could be drunk. You don't know for sure. So you have to do your own due diligence. I don't trust nobody 100%. I'll question my lawyer, and I've caught my lawyer in stuff. I've questioned my accountant and caught him messing up. Like I said, I do it in a professional way. I ask, hey, man, what about this? Did you read this? And I send him a link or something. And I've caught him in stuff, right? The second stock, like I said, is not a sexy stock like Tesla. It's not sexy like Peloton, but I don't care if something's sexy. I don't care if something is got a lot of hype behind it, got a lot of buzz. I don't care because I'm trying to make money. I would buy a porta potty company if I could make money. You see what I'm saying? Because I try to keep my emotions, keep my bias out of these decisions, right? And that second company, the second stock that we're going to talk about is Honda, right? Honda. And people say, Honda? Oh, I don't want to, Honda, you know, but I've looked at the technicals. That stock is also in an upward trend. That stock is also doing, that stock is also less than where it should be. That stock is also has a lot of potential to go up. Now, why is that, right? Honda's the biggest car company in the world right now. A lot of people don't know that. The biggest car company where it produces more cars, makes more money than any other company in the world, right? So another thing is that Honda hasn't really fully extended into the EV market, right? So What they're going to do is that there's rumors going around that they're going to expand quickly and hard into the electric vehicle market. Now, it's going to do for them what it's done for Tesla, what it's done for NIO. So we're at the, like we said, Honda, this is what I'm talking about getting in at the right phase. Honda, we're in accumulation phase now. Both Intel too, we're in accumulation phase. A lot of people don't know about these. A lot of people don't understand where they're going. A lot of people don't see it. Like we said, it's a saying that we like to use. Is that nobody takes notice to the jets in the sky. It's a future lyric, but I like to say it because it's true. Is that nobody pays attention to stocks, asset, crypto, whatever, until it's already in the sky. When it's on the ground, these stocks are on the ground. We're in accumulation phase. So with enough time, I say 4 to 6 months, these are going to be 40, 50% up. People are going to be shocked. Oh my God, it's a Honda? Oh my God, what? Intel? I didn't know, man. You know, they're going to be shocked. And then once the jet's in the sky, all these people are going to jump on it like crypto and everything else, right? Once it's already too late, I'll get messages. You think I should still buy Honda when it's already three times higher? That's when I get those messages. Like, oh man, it's already 300% higher. Like NIO. We talked about, about Marin Riot. Riot was at $3 when we bought it, right? And then once it gets to $67, $60, everybody's right. I mean, you think we should still buy it? I mean, you're already past, you're way past the phase you should have bought in, right? So I'll talk about something else. This last thing I'm going to talk about, we're going to get into questions, is that there's a lot, what I'm seeing now is a lot of greed in the market. And that greed is causing people with assets to hold too long. You don't take nothing off the table. You don't sell anything because you want as much money as you can get. Right. But we have to practice risk management. You have to take some off the table. Like I said, you got to stock this up 10, 20, 30%. I mean, you got to take some off the table. You have to change your life some kind of way because those gains are imaginary. It's imaginary. You know what I'm saying? It's imaginary. And as long as you let greed control you, you'll never sell anything. And then you end up what's called a bag holder. You'll hold your stocks, you hold your crypto. Until it goes down. And every stock crypto eventually goes down. That's the market phase. So when you're greedy like that, you hold too long, right? So I want to tell a story, and then we're going to go. And a lot of you guys have heard this story, but I want to associate it with what greed does to you, right? And it's the story of King Midas. A lot of you guys have heard this story, you know, but I want to associate it with what greed does to you, right? Is that King Midas was the richest man on earth, right? He had all the gold on earth, most of the gold, all the gold he can get, right? So he had all this gold, but even though he had all this gold, he wanted more gold. So he made a greed-based decision, right? So he let this sorcerer stay at his house one day. The sorcerer was passing through town. He was like, hey man, I need somewhere to stay. And he was really nice to this dude. So he let him stay at his house. So the next day in the morning, the dude said, I'm a sorcerer and I appreciate what you've done. You let me stay at your house. So I'm going to grant you one wish before I leave and go to the next town. So King Midas, his greed overwhelmed him. And he said, hey man, I want everything I touch to turn to gold. He said it real fast before he even thought about it. Everything I touch to turn to gold. He said, all right. The sorcerer said, when you wake up in the morning, everything you touch is going to turn to gold exactly like you asked. He said, all right. He was woke up, went to sleep and he was so excited, woke up. And he was so excited, he touched his nightstand or whatever, turned to gold. He's so excited, oh my God, I'm going to be so rich, man. He starts touching everything, right? So then he goes to breakfast, right? And that breakfast is laid out, man, he's still touching stuff. He sits down, he picks up his food, it turns to gold. Picks up his glass of water, it turns to gold. Then he starts panicking, like you guys do. You panic when you know you've made a greedy decision. You start panicking, right? So you're like, oh my God, I think I was too greedy. So you start panicking. Oh my God. Then he touches stuff. So, oh my God, I can't eat. I can't drink water. I'm going to die. And then his daughter comes around the corner, runs up to him. Hey, daddy, hugs him. Gold. She turns to gold too. At that point, he realized that gold wasn't important. He realized that he made a greedy decision, a decision that he really didn't have to do because he already had all the gold in the world. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's just the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.